Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about artists and music from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to rap, soul music, hip-hop, and R&B. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. On this episode, we're going to do an album review. If you've been following me, you know that from time to time we will do album reviews, and I couldn't think of a better album that I had never reviewed up until this point. And got some family in the building. This guy who's coming on this episode, if you follow the podcast, you know he is simply put a not just a fan, but he knows his hip hop. He not only has a hip hop podcast called the Eclectic Discussion Podcast, as well as the Encyclopedia Hip Hop Podcast, and then the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. Got them confused there for a second. But not only that, man, good friend of the show, coming into the podcast for the first time on the Rap Soul Podcast. So I got to give him a proper introduction. He's hellified hotter than heat. Guess what the other cats can't eat? Because he's a carnivore and he can eat much more than a fat man at a pack jam. None other than my boy Eclectic is in the building. E, what up, baby?
What's up, everybody? It's me, Eclectic. Eclectic the Hammer Pot in Time, a.k.a. LL Cool Eclectic, a.k.a. Eclectic E. Shore. We're in the building. I just got in. I'm in Bristol, and it's nice up here. It's nice in this hotel. I'm on location.
So, man, I was going through just thinking about some things that we could talk about. But again, having you on the Rap Soul Podcast, which is something I told you that we were going to do, just now getting around to it. But I'm bringing back the usual suspects.
It's keeping me from you guys.
So here's the thing. We've talked about LL, but we never did an album review on LL's second album, Bad, aka Bigger and Deffer. This album was released May 29th, 1987. It was LL's second studio album. Before we get into the album, we'll talk about the album. We'll break down the tracks. We'll take a commercial break and the whole nine. But before we get into it, I think probably what people want to know is if we go back to 1987, again, LL's coming off the heels of his first album. There was talk as to whether or not there would be a sophomore jinx. What were your thoughts like the first couple of times you heard this album in 1987?
This is one of the pivotal moments in hip hop for me personally. LL's first album, Radio, was the first hip hop album that I purchased with my own money.
Okay.
LL Cool J has been my favorite, or one of my favorites, top three, not three, my entire life. And so this is what happened. This is 87. I'm relaxing in the living room, and I'm watching BT. I want to say Video Soul. It could have been Video Vibrations, but I'm thinking it was Video Soul.
Okay.
And they said, after we come back, we have a new song by LL Cool J. and I almost shit my pants. This is incredible. Because let me tell you why this was important. And I'm not gonna filibuster too long because you got a whole show to do. But radio, he had no videos. The first album, he had no videos. If you didn't get Black Beat or one of the magazines, you didn't know what he looked like. Unless you saw Crush Groove.
Crush Groove, right.
You know, so you didn't even, you never saw him perform. Mm-hmm. And so when they said, we're going to have a new song, I'm like, well, that means a video. I ran to my room and got my box that had a microphone on it so I could record the song. We didn't have a VCR. We were poor. We didn't have VCR. I couldn't record it. If I could have recorded the video, I would have been the hottest. I would have been the illest nigga in Nebraska.
Of course.
But, so I ran and got my box because I had a microphone on it. And put it by the TV. Mm-hmm. And he came back. And it was like, yeah, this is LL. And there go Tasha putting up fucking signs on the I'm like, oh my God. And so this is the first time I'm hearing Bad. And yes, what was like the first couple of times I heard this album. When I first heard this song, I thought that it was the greatest song I ever heard in my life. And it was not like anything in hip hop. And this is what I mean by that. The scratching on the hook on Bad, they didn't do that until then. The cool, his name over and over again, and he had two different DJs scratching. And nobody did the scratching like that. Go back to the songs before then. You had Molly Scratch with the Molly. But that was about it. But this was just crazy. And so, and the best thing I could tell you is this is what happened. The next day, I had to go to school. And I could not talk about anything but this. And none of my friends saw it.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, yo, it was like, what? I was like, it was called Bad. And he had Cut Creator and Kamikaze. They're like, what's a Kamikaze? I'm like, I don't know. I said, it did Tasha. And I was like, it was some Cool J cookies and jelly beans, and he ate jelly beans. Yeah. You got to understand what it sounded like me telling people, like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, it was jelly beans and cookies and a shark's fin. And I was like, and I recorded it, but because it was a radio with a mic, it picks up everything that's going on. So if, I don't know, your mother comes in to tell you to take out the trash, it's Cool J, take out the trash. I'm like, oh shit. So I can't jam. I can't play it for nobody. And so, but anyway, I say all that to say, huge song. When I heard the album was crazy. The only thing about the album was because of the ninth track on that album, mm-hmm, people didn't realize how dope it was because everybody played I Need Love. People played I Need Love like the Kendrick song.
Probably more.
Yeah. I mean, because it was on the radio, all the urban stations, all the pop stations on the radio. It wasn't just, hey, we're playing it, we're playing our tape. It was, you're going somewhere and it's on. And this was before you even did a video for it. It was crazy.
Yeah, man. I agree 1,000%. This one was, I don't even remember watching the video. I remember that being a discussion, like you said, once we got to school. But one of the things that actually stood out to me in purchasing the, because I bought the tape, was the first thing that you see is the album cover. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, Eclectic and I have talked ad nauseum about a lot of the album covers that we saw. And I think we may have even done a fantasy draft talking about album covers.
We did. I won.
whatever. So, but here's the thing. This album cover, man, what did you, this, in my opinion, it, this is one of the, I hate to use the word iconic, but this is one of the early iconic album covers that we got in hip hop. He's standing on I think it's a Benz. Yeah. He's got on Air Jordans, which weren't cheap at all. And he is standing there like a fly B-boy. What did you think about the album cover?
Now, I'm going to tell you this. Now, okay. This is two things. Thing one, mm-hmm. I said it was the first, his first album, Radio, was the first one that I ever bought. And part of the reason why I bought that album was because of the cover. The cover was a big-ass box. And then when you flip it over, mm-hmm. he had on Jordans. And he brought Jordans to hip hop, by the way, everybody. He's the GOAT for multiple reasons. But he had the Jordans on his first album. And what is it? What is it? 357? Mm-hmm. Cool sporting Air Jordans, and I'm off the he's the first one to say he's rocking Air Jordans and a hip hop. Listen, I could go on and on why he's the GOAT. But anyway. But for this album cover, I thought on the cover that those were the Iceland troops. I thought those were the red, white, and black troops.
Okay, okay.
So, because he was also the only one that had his own troop. He had the LL Cool J troops.
He did.
And so, but this, yeah, the cover was crazy. He always has different type of covers. Mm-hmm. And they said last year he got that exact car restored. He has that car.
Wow.
And so when he did the video with Eminem, that's the actual car. When they redid the cover, that's the car. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That just takes me back because, like, this was an era, like you said, we really, because you got to remember, guys, kids, there was no internet. So Eclectic said he found it on TV as far as the video for I'm Bad. And then, like, for me, I remember going to buy the tape, and that's the first thing that I see. So this is when you see him standing on the hood of this car, this is the epitome of cool, at least. And you know, no pun intended. I mean, like, he was cool. He was literally cool. And the thing about it was, in 87, these were the people that we looked up to. And so when you saw an LL, or you saw Run DMC, or you saw Slick Rick, or you saw guys like Eric B. and Rakim with the fat dookie rope chains, this was like status symbols. And I'm glad you brought up Jordans, because you're right. At least to my knowledge, I don't ever remember anybody mentioning Jordans in a song up until that point. And this is, again, 87. Jordan came into the league in 84. By this time, the Air Jordan shoe is a status symbol. If you have those Air Jordan shoes that I think probably cost about $75 at the time, which was a lot of money back then, you were saying something. And so you got to remember, you know, Dougie Fresh, what were they talking about? Bally's. What was Run DMC talking about? Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
For LL to shout out Jordans, like you said, that's a status symbol.
Yeah.
And so he goes from his first album, and I'm glad you made the point about, you know, not having a video. So if you didn't see him in Crush Groove, you don't know, you've heard these songs, but you don't know what he looks like. And he comes out with the first song, and that's I'm Bad, and there's a video for it. The song was released on June 13th, 1987.
Real quick.
No, go ahead.
And this is not a flex, but LL actually told me on Twitter, we talked on Twitter, that the reason why he didn't have a video for Radio on the Radio album is because they were going to do it, but he overslept. And he overslept, and Russell Simmons got mad at him and said, "All right, fuck it, then you're not gonna do a video." And he didn't have a video, so that's really why. So,
and this is true, because I did see that tweet.
Yeah.
You shared it with me. I did see that tweet. So no, it's not you. You ain't flexing on everybody like that.
And the only thing that I can think of before, well, he rocked the Jordans on radio, which came out in 84. Mm-hmm. After that, the only really mention of Jordan was they mentioned Jordan on Basketball by Curtis Blow. They said that he had all those points and that he was cool. And Scorpio had that song, Go Michael Air Jordan. And I
remember that.
Yeah. Scorpio, that came out in 86. Okay. And the only reason why I remember why, I mean, I had it. I still have the song, but the it was a 12-inch, and on the other side, back in the day when you did a 12-inch, you used to have a dub version of the song or an instrumental.
Facts.
And the instrumental on the B side was called Basket Beats. And that's only, I just remember that. It was, so anyway.
Only but, you, man.
Yeah, but go
ahead. Only the Encyclopedia of Hip Hop would remember that. I tell you what, man, let's take a commercial break. And on the other side of the break, we will break down the songs from this album. I'm going to pick E's brain. And before we get off the podcast, E is going to score this album. He's going to tell us how many mics he give it in 2025 at the time of this recording. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a second. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. And just like that, we are back. Once again, it's your boy 12 Kyle. This is the Rap Soul Podcast. And I got my man Eclectic in the building. And we are talking about Bigger and Deffer, the second studio album from James Todd Smith, aka LL Cool J. Both of us are big fans. One of us seems to call him the GOAT, but that's not me. But nonetheless, when you start talking about the albums and LL's discography, obviously there was no sophomore jinx here. So, as I mentioned before the break, E, the album starts off with I'm Bad. He also shot a video where Tasha gets kidnapped after.
Oh, man, not Tasha.
After putting up some posters, he takes a walkie-talkie from somebody. He's got Cut Creator. He's got people. He's got girls dancing. It's a lot going on in the video. And I mentioned this on one episode before. I did not know that he said motherfucker in the song for a long time. Because
when the car go by, the
car spins off. So talk to me, man. What did you think about Bad? I'm Bad.
Again, when it came out, I thought it was the greatest song ever. The SWAT sample, the Courageous Cat cartoon, it's ridiculous. The scratching, and then the video. I don't want to keep harping on the video, but the video, it was the first time you actually saw him get busy. And again, all right, listen. the song he says. All right, in the 80s, the WAP was the pop. It's, I think it's the greatest hip hop dance ever.
It is.
That and because it's, you can still do it right now. Everything WAP. Don't stop WAP until you break your arm. But the just when you listen to the song, he said, "I'll make you say go LL and do the WAP." That's it's funny to me. This, he said, "I'm so dope. I'm gonna make you yell go LL and WAP it out."
And WAP it out.
I was like saying, "Nigga, I'll make you fucking scream my name and dance."
Pretty much.
And I mean, he had so many things that was air quote. I kind of that my hat is like a Sharks fan. Was crazy. The forget Oreos, eat Cool J cookies. And I'm notorious for crushing like a jelly bean. Chip, 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 chip.
Man, that song, I mean, like, it literally, it transported us. It transported LL on another level of atmosphere of cool. And it was, I don't know about where you were in Ohio, man, but I just know my hometown of Florence, South Carolina. That became the number one requested song on the radio every single day. Every day. People Man. Wanted to hear I'm Bad.
And I will tell you what else I love about this the song and again and the video. But if you watch the video at the end, the guy is calling for the I think I'm gonna need backup. And if you look, he keep knocking his arm. Little shit like that cracks me up. Yeah, yeah. And then he grabs the, give me that walkie-talkie. And when he ends the thing, I'm Bad, you hear the walkie-talkie hang up. Mm-hmm. Little shit like that is so dope. I treat you like a stepchild, so tell mommy bye-bye. Never retire, put my mic on the shelf. The baddest rapper in the history of rappers. Yeah. He been telling us he was been the GOAT forever.
He said it. I mean, listen, you're right. I would encourage each and every one of you, if you have not seen the video, when you finish listening to this episode, go watch the video for I'm Bad. It is still like you said, and I guess it's because we recorded the video and we watched it over and over. So yeah, the whole thing with the pushing of the arm, I didn't pick that up until like maybe four or five times into watching it. But I love it, man. I think it's still a dope song, man. It's one of my favorites from LL. Track two, LL talks about candy, but not the candy that you eat or the candy that you sniff, the K-A-N-D-A-Y. What do you think about candy?
Look, if Bad wasn't on this album, mm-hmm. Candy, just the way that it starts, and I'm going to tell you this. I don't know, I can't tell you what songs that they are right now, mm-hmm. but there are multiple songs that came out in 2024 with like these new fuckity fuck rappers that use this rhyme scheme. They take this. And one of the things that I always said about LL and why he's, you know, he's what he is because he can have not different albums, different songs on the albums where he rhymes completely different. This is true. And it's still dope. Nobody else does that, by the way. He had that I'm Bad that just went off. This mm-hmm. whole candy song doesn't even sound like it doesn't rap the same way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no yelling, no I'm the pinnacle. I met this new girl with big juicy lips and nice brown hips. I mean, you know, again, this song, I love this song. I quote this song a lot. One of my favorite things is, man, oh man, damn, you can't and I can. Last time I saw with six man, I had to shake up with hand. I was like, what up? He said, what up? I took your girl, so what up? Got her walking around with a hole I filled up.
Hey, I love when you said, when a mother knows me, a father hates my guts. She don't know weird nuts. You don't
know my diggy nuts. Nuts
snack, corn
flake crack. Day after day, I try to break that back.
I remember, and I'm not going to mention her name, but I remember listening to this tape, and there was a young lady that I liked, and we were sitting outside at some point, and she heard that part, and she just looked over at me, and her eyes got big, and I was like, yeah, he said that.
That,
yeah, your father knows you feeling on my niggy niggy nuts.
This song is so dope. This is one of my favorite hip hop songs, and really? One of the reasons why is because I very seldom get hype. I'm not a hype person, but the hook, the I feel good, and then woo.
About candy.
I just love that. She's clever in bed. She uses her head. She's the kind of girl that keeps a fat man well fed. Candy is incredible.
Yeah, man. This was one of those naughty songs, but I mean it was dope, man. And I remember one of my homeboys, he called the radio station in our hometown, and he said, like, can I hear Candy by LL? And it was like, nah, we can't play. And he was disappointed. He's like, man, why y'all can't play? He's like, man, it just got too much cussing in it. I was like,
there's no cursing in it.
I know, but you know, it was just so much sexual innuendo. Like, they couldn't, like, they would have pulled a plug on it.
Bro. Meanwhile, now, well, look what's.
I'd be like, you get WAP on the radio all day. The next track three, Get Down.
This is the one. He starts it off. Get down to the rhythm that'll rock the walls. Court sporting Air Jordans, and I'm on the ball. Boy. So, said disappeared for a year, and now I'm back, y'all. And listen. Disappeared for a year, now I'm back, y'all. Then when somebody else comes and says, "Oh, it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left." You'd be like, "Oh, he cried like the other guy."
Hey,
the other guy had said it first.
But
people gonna give props to whoever they want to give props to. Anyway, I like this song. Again, this is the third song on the album, and it's the third song where he doesn't rap the same. And it's still dope. He shouts out Haystacks Calhoun, everybody. That's a wrestler. Calling me a sucker boy, you pushing a broom. The also says Pastor J in this. Yeah. They spoke.
He's subtly.
Little subtle shit. That's all here. And he shout out my man E Love. E Love hat. So the E Love hat is the Godfather hat that the Run DMC wore. But when E Love got it on, it's the E Love hat. But no, I really like this song. And again, it's different. It's different from all of the other ones that just came on. And so what I really like about this album as a whole, and we'll talk about it in the wrap up, is you get so many different feelings and styles and all in one album, instead of it's this guy, he sounds the same on every song. It could be just one long song,
right?
And all the themes are the same. Oh, they're talking about shooting, they're talking about the drugs, they're talking about women. This is LL Cool J. He didn't talk about women on every. He might say something about them on every song, but there's only like two women songs on here, and the two women songs are completely different.
Totally different.
So I really enjoy this joint.
Yeah, man, Get Down. Like you said, I think one of the things that makes this interesting about this particular album, particularly at this point in the album, is like you said, he doesn't sound the same. And what's interesting is that if you compare this album with the albums that hip hop had offered to us up until this point, you don't see the variety. You don't even see the variety like that as far as his sound on the first album, on the radio album. So for him to go in the studio and you got really, you're on your third song and none of the songs sound the same, or at least he's not rapping the same. He's giving you different flows. In 2025, that's commonplace. Like, you know, so that it's something that's the norm. But the thing that we're trying to kind of convey to you guys is like, this was really, really different to do this in 1987 because everybody didn't sound like this. And it, everybody didn't have different styles and stuff like that.
And on top of that, even if it's quasi commonplace now to do a kind of different styles, the difference is now they'll give you a different cadence or a different type of flow, but they're talking about the exact same thing. What I feel, and you know, I don't know James, but what I feel he does is he comes up with whatever he's going to rap about, whatever the concept is, and he tailors the flow to that. Like, I'm going to rap about this. So when we get to the next, I know a fat girl. She wears an orange skirt. That don't sound like nothing like, aw, or I met this new girl. It's nothing like that.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
And it's about a whole tale. The other one was about him being better than everybody. The other one's about this girl that he know. And the other one was just like, hell, let's party.
Right.
Four different types of songs, four different flows, four different type of beats, but it's all cohesive by one person.
Very much so. Very much so cohesive. Like you mentioned, track four, the Bristol Hotel, kind of like an early call and response. A funny joint. Like, this is not, it's not a serious song, but he's still having fun, and it's quintessential LL, I think. You know, shooting the shit, having a good time on a record. I really like the Bristol Hotel. Track five, My Rhyme Ain't Done. Oh, what you got on this one, E?
Again, not like the four predecessors. Not to mention the girl, the fat girl in the orange skirt took food stamps, which is crazy.
She needed it.
My Rhyme Ain't Done, it's because the different kind of things. The president woke Eddie called the Pope. The Pope climbed to heaven on a golden rope. He asked the Lord to raise Michelangelo from the dead so he can make a fresh painting of my head. So he's doing stories. And the cool thing about it is at the end of the verse, he's like, yo, that story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. And then he starts another joint. So he's talking about suits and of cards, 52 cards. And then he goes to the center of the earth and met skeezers. Right. And then he woke up in the world of cartoons, where He-Man was going to beat him up because he thought that he looked like Donald Duck. He hung out with Spider-Man. Charlie Brown started a band. Tom and Jerry was told Snoopy not to rap. Right. And then the last verse, he did some history stuff. He went to he met Sitting Bull, and oh yeah, they had a peace pipe, and he thought it was tobacco, and it was cess. And then he went to the Honeymooners, a TV show, kids, that came out in the '50s. The Honeymooners, and he was looking at Alice's butt, and I mean, totally different type of things. And all of it came down to him just rapping. Like, look, it's like when you're on the block and you're just rapping, and he's like, and then I hung out with Tom and Jerry. He's just rapping, and somebody else is wanting to rap. He's like, yeah, but I'm not done yet.
No, I'm not done.
And
that's one of the things that I love about this particular song, man, because like, he gives you different verses and he gives you different flows, and it's still in good fun. But I mean, like, to me, I think this is where LL lyrically starts to separate it. Well, not just in this particular song, but this album, where he's separating himself from his contemporaries. Totally.
And there's no hook. There's no chorus. It was just, I mean, the hook is that story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. He just keeps rapping. And then at the end, the story is over and the rhyme is done.
Which is a great way to end the song. Then the next track six, 357, Break It On Down. E, this is at the time, this is one of my favorites. One of my favorites on the album. What did you think about this one?
I thought this is probably the most, maybe the second most underrated song on the album. I want to say it is the most overrated. I mean, underrated, because people don't mention this as much as what I would say. But the flow on this one, again, is not like anything else. But to rappers, I'm a nightmare on Elm Street. Hella fired, hotter than heat. Guess why the others can't eat. This thing, he started rapping. Mm-hmm. I'm dope rap, on a rap. Rope. Verges want to elope. I do the hustle when the shuffle and the rope a dope.
The rope a dope.
The Muhammad Ali rope a dope.
Oh man, listen, I can't tell you guys enough how, for me, tracks 6, 7, and 8, like, just really, I mean, like, those are my three favorite. Well, I ain't gonna say that, because there's no, there's one song on here I don't like, but I'm
willing to. Uh-oh.
But even in that, I mean, like, this, I, for me, I think this is where the album goes to the next level. Track 7, Go Cut, Creator, Go. Now, I had one of my, shout out to my boy, Sean. Sean thought this song was cheesy. I didn't think it was cheesy at all, because, one, you get the guitar sample, you get the rock metal infusion, which is what Run DMC and those guys had done as well, but it's still a dope hip-hop song, and he's shouting out his DJ. This is the proverbial let my DJ get busy song. And I mean, cut it up, man. What you got on this one, E?
If when this came out, this was my least favorite song.
Really? It was my favorite.
I thought that, to quote one of my favorite Tom and Jerry cartoons, I thought, boy, are you corny. I thought this was so, I didn't need to. I was like, I don't want this. But I liked everything else. I liked the cut. I want to cut. And it was go, cut. I loved everything else except for the guitar. The lyrics are dope. Mm-hmm. Dude said, I hope for their prayer one day on the road. I have a feline in the summer and the mink when it snowed. I was like, oh, this is, no. But if I had to pick a song, it was, I'm like, man, don't have that guitar. Because this is, even though the whole album is full of different, various, all of this is definitely different than the first song.
Yes.
But this is the one song that I feel did not fit the theme of the entire album.
Fair.
And so, but I still listen to it and still be like, yeah, go.
There you go.
So, like, I can't be like, nah, that's a skip. I'm like, nah.
See, you said all of that to say I'm still gonna play it.
But I thought it was corn, okay, so beef, yeah, hash.
Like, so my boy Sean swore it down. Like, he's like, man, I ain't really feeling that, man. You like it. I was like, I think it's dope. I love the guitar. I love the go cut creator. I love the scratching. I like the fact that he gave Cut Creator a space for 3 minutes and 57 seconds to get busy. I was cool with that. Track 8, the aforementioned, the breakthrough. I love this joint, man. What you got on the breakthrough?
Now, this is what I was going to say is the most underrated song, because this song is unquestionably great.
Yes.
This is straight bars rapping with a message, no break, no breath, no hook. This is his Microphone Fiend before Microphone Fiend came out, by the way.
I like that.
But don't you know you're just a worker and your boss is my man? Awesome, LL man. This, LL's that. Soon as I walk in the place, I want to take my gun and shoot you in your So, no, this song, I love this. This is This is the second song I think I learned word for word.
You had to.
Yeah, this song.
Okay, quick sidebar.
Go ahead.
When you learned the song word for word, how did you learn it? Did you learn it from playing the song over and over again? Did you write the lyrics down, or did you take it bar for bar, like learning it like that?
No, my boy used to be, he was the one that would write it down.
Yeah,
I never, because I didn't want extra work. I was bad enough I had to write shit at school. I'm not doing that. But no, I was the play it, rap it, and then when I couldn't rap it, stop it, okay. Figure what he said, then keep right. Going. But this one, he was kind of like trying to help, though. He's like, get busy, not dizzy, want to teach the young. The last medal didn't listen, ended up getting hung. Not that I killed him. It's just he didn't want to trust the words of the master. That's why this song, and this is another one where he told everybody that he was the GOAT. I don't know why people don't understand. Don't you ever mess with the king of the sound, LL Cool J, the baddest around.
Man, listen, I think I will agree with you on that. I think he it was just bar for bar for bar. Man, and even when I knew we were going to do this episode, I went back a couple of days ago and listened to it. And it just literally took me back from, I mean, it took me from 2025 to 1987. It took me back to my bedroom listening to this tape over and over and over again, man. But I'm like you, E. I'm a little different from you. I was the kid that wrote. I literally wrote the lyrics out. Like, so I wrote this whole tape out and I studied it. And as Ella, and I mean, like, I literally would, I would take my my boombox and I'd have it there and I'd have my headphones plugged up and I literally would just be like mumbling and rapping to myself. And then like my mom would come in, she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm in here rapping. And so like, that's how I learned the song. And I did that for every song on this album until I learned and mastered, you know, every song.
Man, the other thing about this, which again, people sleep. This is why he's the GOAT. He says it in this song. It goes man to man and jam to jam. I got hip hop, rock, and love song fans. Like, look, all you just, oh, well, listen, he got bars. I'm like, I got fans in like three genres.
Yeah. He did say that.
Off my second album, and he did.
He did say that, and he was previewing the next song, which was the love song. It was the second single that was released from the album. The song is entitled I Need Love. It is a hip-hop ballad. It is a hip-hop classic. I mean, like it, love it, or hate it, that's what this song is. I will listen to this song just for nostalgia reasons, but I got tired of the song. But I don't hate the song. Like, even now, I will still listen to it. But when I tell you, this was the most requested song in my hometown on the radio every single day for like six straight months. It was I need, and it was a dedication hour. People were dedicating songs. They were dedicating I Need Love because it was LL and it was a hip hop love ballad. Man, what did you think about I Need Love?
I think a lot of things. I can understand why people would get tired because they played this song out. This was. And again, it ain't like now where you can be like, all right, well, I'll just turn on my phone and I'll just listen to something. This was in every outlet. Anything, if radio, TV, and even the press.
Shout out to the biz.
And the people that had the album was only playing this song. People bought the album just for this song.
Just for this song.
The second thing is, in a vacuum, that actual track is sick. The doom, that with the melody, that you could rap any kind of style over that beat, and it would be, that track is crazy. That is a as a Paul Revere style super dope track.
Right.
Third thing, tertiary, my favorite shit.
Okay.
That all these women paid no attention to. They were, oh, he's so, and people listened to it. I was the only one laughing my ass off at this song because of what he said in the beginning. This, and this goes, went over everybody's head. Huh?
Playing with hearts, not saying no names.
No, close.
Okay.
Right around here. This went over everybody's head. This man said, playing make-believe, pretending that I'm true, holding in my laugh as I say that I love you. I howled. I'm like, that went over everybody's head. He said, holding in my laugh as I
right.
I was like, he is an asshole. And everybody's like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, people not really, I mean, like, I want to say I was in, what, eighth grade when this song came out? So, nah, I heard it, but, you know.
I was howling.
It, love.
And then my man said, inside my soul, because my soul is cold. One half of me deserves to be this way till I'm old. I was like, these people are listening to stuff just like, oh, he's so I'm like, he's an asshole.
I mean, He was being honest, I guess. He was telling his truth. Tell your truth, King. This was I mean, like I said, people love it, people hate it. The interesting thing about, and you kind of alluded to it, interesting thing about this album, and particularly where it's placed, because it's track 9, you got to remember, folks, we had tapes. Mm-hmm. So if you had the tape, you probably, even if you didn't like the song, you probably gonna have to listen to it because you didn't want to have to fast forward to the next song. There was no CDs, there was no something where you could just really press fast forward and get to it. I mean, you could try to fast forward through your tape, but most people would just kind of sit through it. Track 10 was the only song on this album that I did not particularly care for. Let's get it. What you got in there?
I'm the ladies love legend and leather, long and lean, and I don't wear pleather. Last of the red hot loving MCs, looking for a little. That's what. Nah. The only thing, there's only one part in this song that you can't. Listen, this was 87. He had a theme. He was using all of the L's. He was giving us all of the L's. And it's just one thing he said in here that I even like when I'm re-rapping the song, I'm like, oh. So in the song, he say, I am loose with the ladies, loud like a ref. When I die, there'll be no lovers left. And then the next word he said, I'm the little girl liker.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't catch that in like a couple of days.
Like, I get what he was doing. He was using the L's and himself.
You can't say little girl like
you can't.
They'll get you out of the paint for that shit. As fuck.
But yeah. But it's like, I get what he's doing. He's like, L after L ever since the intro. I've been giving you all of the L's. And then when Cool Moe D tried to do it, they was like, oh, he got him. Like, he just copied what he did on the.
I mean,
but,
yeah, same thing.
I'm like, what? He didn't come up with anything.
Right.
But yeah, because he was like, because ladies know my bass is low, rocket L after L ever since the intro. Liberace couldn't rock it on the long legged pro. Two legs, with not four, like Lousy. I don't eat Alpo. Come on. How do you not like Let's Get Ill?
You know what? I think it's the hook. I really think it's the hook for me. Let's Get Ill. It just never stuck with me, man. It just never. And even going back to it, I listened to it, but I was like, I see why I didn't like it.
I love that song.
Now the next song, man, is one of, man, listen, the doo-wop. I love the doo-wop, man. That when I tell you, like, one of the things, and we talked about it a little earlier, but I want to hammer home the point, like, there's so many different flows and there's so many different beats and styles that is on this album. People weren't mixing things up like this. I mean, even, and I'm not going to compare LL to Run DMC, but if you listen to Run DMC's second album, each song, you know, while they're rapping about different, they're not changing a whole bunch of styles in it. Like, it's pretty much you got a template and they stick to the template. And it's no diss on Run DMC, because Curtis Blow did the same thing. You know, a lot of people at that time were doing the same thing. So for LL to come and on his second album really test this, which we really didn't hear a lot, I think says a lot about LL and the people that he worked with. But I love the doo-wop for me. I mean, like, that was one of my favorite. I think it's the perfect way to close the last full song on the album. What you got on the doo-wop?
Here's the thing. I think. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So on the Encyclopedia Hip Hop Podcast, I'm counting down the top 50 whatever story rhymes. This came in at, I want to say, 3 or 4.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I wanted to put it higher, but I couldn't because of what else is on the list. I think that this is one of the greatest story rhymes in hip hop history. I think it is the second most complete hip hop stories ever made. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the second best song on this album.
Okay.
I cannot say more good things about this song. He wakes up, goes through his whole day, and spoiler alert, it never happened.
Never happened.
I mean...
When you gonna let me taste your tongue? That got me.
No. What got me that I still laugh at now. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, he is talking about him waking up in the morning, getting ready for his day. This man said, I say, yeah, I was with it, hung up and got geared, got a magnifying glass, then I brushed my beard. Because you know that man don't have no fucking facial hair.
Right. That flew over my head when I was younger.
He said, I got a magnifying glass, then I brushed my beard. I remember hearing that, dying. Because when this came out, I had nothing either.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I was in eighth grade. I had no mustache, no nothing.
A magnifying glass. That joint, that, and the illest pickup line that I heard, he said, no need to rehearse. Then I made my approach, said, you got a good team, girl, but you need a new coach. I was like, yo. You got a good team, but you need a new coach. Yeah, man, this song is incredible.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then, like, the album ends with On the Ill Tip, the skit.
Jokes on you. Jokes. Another album.
We did it again. Take that.
That's my part. My man said, take that.
Oh, man. This album, 45 minutes and 13. This doesn't feel like a 45 minute album, first and foremost. Let me be honest. It flows. It flows. I got back, and this happens a lot especially when I go back to music that I don't like frequent often. But man, this album, it felt good to go back and listen to this one, man. It just, like I said, it transported me back to my room. And the boom box and just sitting there just listening, and my notebook, because again, this was one of the few albums I remember writing every single song, man. I had to have it. So
yeah, this was in my the Spotify rap. I listened to this. This is one of the top albums I listened to last year. So it's not
Spotify rapped.
Yeah, this is
Wow.
Yeah, I listened to this album often. So
that's saying something.
It was in my top like five albums listened to in 2024.
Now that's saying something. That lets you know that this man has not left this album.
No.
At all.
No, I haven't left this era.
Oh man. So before we get out of here, man, I gotta get your take, man. We talk about it from time to time. Everybody knows the Source magazine would rank albums and give them the mics. I'm pretty sure the Source either was not out just yet or they did not rank this album when it came out.
It wasn't a part of the regrade.
Okay. It may have been, but I think the regrades were so bad that I never really paid attention to them. Like, because, I mean, the thing is, if you gave an album four mics when you originally scored it, and then you come back and say it's a five-mic album, you're trying to sell magazines.
Oh, I mean, how dare you, young man.
So you know the Source is on some bullshit. I mean, like, bro, Lil' Kim got a five-mic album.
The Notorious K.I.M., the seminal hip-hop classic?
I mean, God, yeah.
Wasn't the Notorious K.I.M. and your Spotify Wrapped?
No, it was not. Never.
My bad.
Kanye got five mics. Bun B, and I love Bun B, but Trill was not a five mic. But I digress.
Please digress.
Stop it. Shout out to the great Bun B. So how many mics?
Do I rep on the daily?
Yeah, that's coming. Pause. That is coming to a podcast near you. How many mics? That actually is a segue for a segment that I'm going to have. It's called How Many Mics? How many mics are you giving Bigger and Deafer in 2025?
In 2025, I am on the fence. I'm on the fence between 4.5 and 5.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's not because, oh man, I love this song and I listened to it all in 2024 and yada, 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 yada. And I loved it back then. It's because on the Rap Soul podcast, you can do an episode about an album that is, 25, 30 years old, and have the people still talk about it with such enthusiasm.
Facts.
And look at it, how different it is, and how dope it still is, and compare it to what is available. Mm-hmm. So when it's kind of, let's say, on par with what's available.
Okay.
And it was superior to what came out in its time. Mm-hmm. Would make it kind of timeless.
Mm.
And if it's that, it might have to be a classic. And a classic is five mics. I put a post on X. And I asked, can a classic album have any skips?
Yeah, I think you can.
And my whole life, I said no. And I said, if it does, it can only be one.
One.
And so, with all that being said, if I chose to skip Go Cut Creator.
Okay.
Or if you chose to skip Let's Get Ill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going five, man. I am of the opinion that James Todd Smith, LL Cool J, and the J is for Jeremy. If you know where that came from, you're right. A real one.
Right.
But I think he has four albums that could be considered classic and a possible.
Okay, four and a P.
If you ask me, he has five. But I give haters their possible.
Haters. Okay.
So, yeah, that's where I'm going. What do you say? Three? Because you like to be different.
Nah.
Three mics, two and a half.
Nah, this one is four. I'm not gonna argue with anybody giving it a four and a half. I could move the needle at to a four and a half, but I'm gonna stay at five. I'm gonna stay at four. But this album, the thing about this one is that like the way that it makes me feel, and I always say this about music, E, and for the listeners, like, you can really appreciate music when you listen to it and it's dope and it's hitting and it's slamming or whatever the case may be. And you put it down and you don't touch it for a while. Now, E, you said it's on your Spotify for 2024.
Yeah.
So you obviously listened to it a lot last year. I did.
And that probably affected my rating because.
But that's cool, though.
When I can still listen to it and go back mm-hmm. to it, it must be super dope to me.
Exactly. And you just made my point. So for me to go back to it, you know, even just leading up to this, man, it just really reminded me of how dope this album was. So even on a song like I Need Love that, like I said, got played ad nauseum, it's still a dope song and it's a classic. You know, I'll Let's Get Ill, again, if I had the tape, I'd listen to it. I wouldn't fast forward through it. I mean, like, it is a really, really dope album. You know, maybe we should put a pin in, you know, the discussion of who has the most classics, because that's something that we could discuss.
I would say that he has three classic songs on this album.
Okay, I'm Bad, I Need Love, and what else?
Either.
Okay.
Candy or the Doo-Wop. I think more people like Candy though.
So when you say classic, you're talking about all time.
Listen, as I said, there's current songs for current artists who weren't alive when this came out that is using that flow from right. that specific song.
Right.
I don't know what else. I don't know what I else mean, to say.
You get no argument. I don't know that I would say. I mean, I Need Love is a classic, hands down.
Yep. And Bad is a classic. Bad is a top five hip hop song all time for me.
For you, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, like I said, even in that's a discussion. And I recently had, actually, what episode was that? I did an episode on the Rap Soul podcast. And it was, I got to go back and find it, but. It was, well, it wasn't LL's fault. It was Rock the Bells who picked the song. So I can't, you know, knock LL for, what was that? That's what it was. I did an episode called The Greatest Hip Hop Beats of All Time. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that Rock the Bells, the station or the website, came up with like the top hip hop beats of all time, and it said like I'm Bad was one of the top hip hop beats of all time. Now you said classic song. I don't think that you're gonna say that it is one of the best beats of all time.
I put in the top. I wouldn't hate someone saying it's top 25.
Yeah, I wouldn't have it that high. But here's the thing, like, and you'd have to go back and for those of you listening who have not heard it, go and listen to that episode. I did that episode last year, or actually it was the end of December 30th. But yeah, it was just the list, and I felt like the list was really biased because they had three LL songs in the top hip hop beats of all time. And I'm like, nah, I don't think he's got three. In the three of the all-time beats, not the songs, the beats.
Of how many? Top how many?
I think it was 20. I want to say. I want to say it was 20. Hip hop beats.
Top 20, probably not.
Exactly. That was my point. And I think it was somebody trying to get some brownie points at the radio station.
I mean.
See, that's my point.
I mean,
So, but, you know, like I said, if you say five, I'm not arguing a five Mike album. There are a lot of people that feel, particularly in hip hop, who feel like this is a classic album. It's right there. I mean, Let's Get Ill is not a fan favorite of mine, but I mean, everything else on this album can go and keep going. I mean, like this is a dope ass album. So yeah, there you have it. Bigger and Deffer album review. Man, before we get out of here, E, man, tell folks where they can find you, where they can find your podcast and all of that good stuff.
You can find me at the Hotspot, iFox.
Hotspot, stop it.
You can't find me there. I wish you could find me at the Hotspot. Listen, go into your machines, your McKinds, and type Eclectic, ECLECTIK. Put an ad in front of it, and all of them people are me. Eclectic Discussion Podcast, Encyclopedia Hip Hop Podcast. I'm on the Blue Sky. I'm on the all of the shits. Listen to the podcast, Instagram, a whole bunch of shits, or not. I don't care. But if you want to listen to some good shit and learn a couple of things and just laugh at my stupidity or reminisce about some good shit, hey, I'm here. It's free. You can binge it. A lot of the episodes are under half an hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. You can listen about 4 or 5 and a half an hour. I mean, listen, just come hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. He doesn't have a specific date when the podcast drops, but yeah, they don't disappoint. Mm-hmm. They don't disappoint at all. You guys been following me. You know where to find me, the Rap Soul Podcast, every Monday. You can find this podcast wherever you find your podcast. Like E, I'm all on social media, the Rap Soul Podcast, 12 Kyle, the 12 Kyle Podcast, all across social media, Twitter X, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, TikTok, a little bit of everywhere. You can find this podcast wherever you're streaming from it right now. We're also on YouTube. Thank you for watching on YouTube if you're watching there. And if you want to donate money, if you want to hit us up and contribute financially, $TWELVEKYLE. And don't forget about the flagship podcast. It is called the 12 Kyle Podcast. That one drops every Thursday at midnight. And from time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. Me and this guy, man, we're back. We're activated. We're going to do more podcasts here on the Rap Soul Podcast. We've got a couple of drafts coming as well on his podcast. So tap in. We're not hard to find. And if you'd like to offer some opinions, we'll listen for like a half a second. So that's going to do it for us. So for my boy Eclectic, I am your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.